In this week's episode, Katie Singh is joined by Richard and Tracy Hull from Ash Lane Consulting. They discuss the latest issues affecting the PPA sector. This includes how to maximise your flu income this season and how best to keep on top of your drug claims. Accountancy on Prescription by RBP, one of the leading firms of medical specialist accountants. We know what you find tough, but don't you worry, as we know our stuff.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Accountancy on Prescription. I'm Katie Singer, one of the partners here at RBP, and today I'm joined by Tracy and Richard Hull from Ash Lane Consulting. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Morning.
How are you both?
Good. Looking forward to this. Very good.
Yeah, good to be here again.
We're recording on a cold October day, but the sun's out, so it's always nice when the sun's out. Good. Well, the sun's out here. It's out in London.
Not in Somerset.
Oh, maybe later. Maybe it'll poke through the clouds later. But yes, we were just chit-chatting before we started record, and we can't believe that the webinar that you guys recorded with us was over a year ago.
I know, it's amazing.
Yeah, we had such positive feedback off the back of that. And I know that you got quite a few of our clients contacting you from that. And it was really positive. And for any clients who are listening who have had a great success with Ash Lane, thank you for the feedback you give us and to Richard and Tracy. We know it's appreciated, don't we?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
So we just thought we'd do a catch up because the last few times we've had you on have been so successful and we get great listening numbers and people are really, really keen to hear about this. This is something that we find really important. So why don't you just give us a quick recap of what your business does and then we'll go into the questions that I've got lined up for you.
Great. Yeah, thanks very much. Well, Ash Lane, we've actually been in business for over 10 years now, helping practices with their drugs claims and drugs payments. Our goal is to make sure that they get paid for everything that they've purchased on behalf of the NHS. And if they do it right, they should actually end up with a reasonable level of profit as well. But that's enormously complicated. And so, yeah, we help them with all aspects of that, really focusing on that process going forwards, but also recovering money that they may have missed in the past.
And we know that you can go back quite a way, can't you?
Yeah, and it's quite difficult to do, but it's very worthwhile because if you're recovering missed income, it's straight incremental cash and you can go back up to 6 years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you have had issues in the past, even if you're on top of things now, well, it's still sensible to go and see if there's anything that's been missed.
And I know personally, and I know my partners will be the same, when I go to a practice, the first thing I do is look at drugs in and drugs out, you know. And if I see a shortfall, my first thought is, right, why? Normally, if it's been 1 year, so if 1 year was a bit of a blip, I think, oh, I don't know, maybe a fridge went down or maybe they had a bit of a dodgy year. Someone was off sick for half the year. It does happen. We all know this. But if it's consistent, they're the clients I always say, I think you need a bit of help because something isn't right here.
Absolutely. And I would say that's the key metric. Just look at the profit margin on drugs. Literally, what's the income for those drugs compared with that cost? We expect to see about a 25% gross profit margin. And that's for dispensing and prescribing only practices. Not as high as it used to be, but if that's the level you're seeing, that's a good sign. If it's less than that, it indicates there's definitely room for improvement.
Interesting you say 25%. I'd say on average, I see sort of 10 to 15%. So I'm going to start looking at the ones who are below 25 and say, there could be more, you know. There could
be more. 10 to 15 is okay. It's rare to find a practice that do everything without any errors and everything perfectly. Mm. That's the target, trying to get to that 25%. But there are many practices making a loss. So wherever you're below that, there are things you can do.
Excellent. So as I said, it's been about a year since we last spoke. Now, we know how much change there's been in general practice this year, but what changes have you guys seen in the last year?
Well, in relation to the drugs, so generally, and this applies again to both dispensing and prescribing only practices, those margins on drugs are declining. So had we been speaking 1 or 2 years ago, we'd be talking about margins of potentially 40%.
Wow.
So if that's what practices have been used to and they're now getting feedback from yourselves that they're lower, don't panic that it's something you've done wrong. It's just that the industry doesn't allow for those margins anymore. The discounts available are fewer. Many drugs, there's no discount compared to the basic price. But yeah, that's why I give that figure around 25% is the thing you can realistically expect today.
However, at this moment in time, there is one drug that has changed the tune. Prostap 11.25, if you buy that in, you're making £100 profit per injection given. You have to buy it from Alliance, and you buy it for £124. And I'm not sponsored by the drug companies, but they have the license. Yeah, Alliance has the license. It's £100 profit. That is unheard of. Zoladex, it's going to go back to what it used to be. And Zoladex and Prostap, different sort of brands of that do similar things. Usually the profits are about £45. You get Zoladex from Phoenix, you get Prostap from Alliance, and there are other drugs available. But actually, the profits aren't always as good. There is another one on the market that's Saladex. The profits are good on that one as well.
Excellent top tip there for where to get it and also to maximise that claim, because £100 per pop is, you know, going to be a big income spinner.
But with all of these things, it's not just about buying these things in and giving them. It's always about the process. How do you make sure that the clinical team are coding things properly? Mm. And how do you make sure that you're getting all those prescriptions? So it isn't just about buying in, but it's the start. Yeah. And we say that all the way is check who your suppliers are. Because if you check your suppliers, you can only buy from a certain few. If you're buying from secondary suppliers, ones that are obtained from the same place, is then you will be paying over the odds. Mm-hmm. And we see people making £100 loss on those drugs that we've just made because they're buying from secondary suppliers.
Our message would be, really pay attention to where you're buying all of your drugs and where you can get the best price.
Other things that we are seeing, which will actually impact on next year, but has a little bit on this year, and we will move into flus again a bit later. But in terms of the amount, people are placing their orders now for next year. Again, we always say be very, very careful about how many you're ordering. You don't want to be over-ordering. And the reason being is that the price next year, the reimbursement price, the amount you're going to get paid for your over 65s and your under 65s, if you buy from Seqirus, is £17.55. We've seen surgeries that are getting the offer at £15.25. They can buy it at £15.25 plus VAT. They'll still make a profit, but once you take into consideration the calculation, which is the amount, which is £17.55, minus your discount. Dispensing surgeries know that as clawback, but the NHS take money off you based on the value of your claim. During flu season, that can be 10% of your £17.55, then plus VAT at 20%, and then plus your dispensing fee. So actually, your profit on your flus is going to be just over £3, or just under £3 is if you're a dispensing practice, which is less than you make this year. So for everyone beyond the amount that you can return and get it free of charge, so to speak, you get a credit note, is you've got to give six to cover the cost. So that's why it's so important to get it right. It's still, flus can still be profitable, but you have to really manage that tightly.
Yeah, and it's so difficult with the targets that practices are given to actually achieve. I mean, it does vary. It's funny when we go to different places. So I was in a rural practice yesterday and their flu achievement was exceptional. And I said, my goodness. And they said, our patients love coming to get the flu jab. And I was like, wow, in London, we are seeing the complete opposite. So much vaccination fatigue. I think everybody's done with being pricked with needles for a few years now, but it's so tough in certain different places to actually hit the targets. And of course, if the government is saying this is the target you need to hit, one would assume you have to order that many flu vaccines. And then, of course, there's wastage when the patients don't come in.
So in terms of, there are still ICBs that are saying that you've got to order a certain amount, but you can't do that because of your cohort. Is some are going to go to the pharmacies, some are going to go somewhere else, some are not going to have them. You know, it's not about them not having them at all. It's about they have choice. So you've got to order based on your previous successes. People are doing very well this year. Is on the whole, anecdotally, at this moment in time, people are saying, the uptake has been good. It's been a good level playing field. Everybody started at the same time. They all started for the majority of patients on the 4th of October. And that's whether you're a pharmacy or whether you're a surgery. And that's made a difference. So it's gone well. It's gone well. Or going well.
For us, it was really positive that practices and pharmacists or NHS pharmacists that had to start on the same day. I think one of the only downsides for some practices will be where you can be offered the flu and the COVID together. So it's like the
COVID vaccination clinics, yes.
So my husband, for example, he's eligible for both and he was going to get his flu at the surgery, but then he thought, oh, well, actually, I've just had this text from NHS Direct. I'm going to get my flu and my COVID together. I may as well. So of course, the surgery in that situation is going to effectively, I guess, lose out because he's going to somewhere else to get it done together.
Yes. There are all different vaccination sites and things. Sometimes they're run by surgeries. Sometimes they're run by pharmacists. Sometimes they'll be run by another. I've seen them run by big supermarkets as well. So there are all different ways, which brings us nicely on to, so the surgeries are doing flus and sometimes surgeries will do all of their flus for all of their patients. Mm-hmm. So they're just keeping that all within house. They've got to make sure that they claim that on their PPA. It'll get recorded as administration of quadrivalent inactivated flu vaccine. Perfect. You can do searches on that. You can use all sorts of ways to work out that payment. That payment will also be extracted as an enhanced service by CQRS. It's all very contained and works really well. Other surgeries will do it as a PCN or a federation, and they'll have COVID vaccination clinics where they're doing COVID and they will do flus as well. They work and they do work well, but you have to have a few prenups, I always call them, is what's going to happen when? What's going to happen when we have those items left at the end? What's going to happen if I've ordered 2,000 vaccines and you've ordered 1,000 and we've given 2,000 of them to your patients? How do we do that? What are we going to do? How do we do our returns? All of those sorts of things. And you need to have agreements about that. And that's a whole separate topic. And I've worked with lots of PCNs on that. So the PCN then gets the enhanced service. So when that hits your clinical system, it comes as a notification of vaccination and it gets recorded by given by other healthcare provider. So that is the code that it gets. That code is absolutely right because you don't want to get two enhanced services payments because you can't. You only get what, one flu given, one flu paid. But those given by other healthcare providers has got other things mixed in there. It's sort of flus given at the hospital for somebody who's in the hospital will come as given by other healthcare provider. Pharmacies are given by pharmacists, so they're not in that thing. So the PCN needs to provide you with the numbers of over 65s, the number of under 65s that you should be claiming. Okay. And those will have to be added manually to your appendix, your FP34 appendix, your claims, whether you're a System One practice or whether you are an EMIS practice. And also, you know, as if you're vision as well. So you've got to do that manually.
In true NHS style, just a lot more admin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But they are working. It's for those surgeries that are, and this is just anecdotal again, is for those surgeries that are doing PCN for the first time, it's tough. No two ways about it. But for those, and sometimes people go, no, that's just, it was too hard. But for those that have done this year on year, is each time they're ironing out something new, something new, and it's getting better and better, I think. I'm not advocating that you do it as a PCN or not. It's just, you know, if that's the way a surgery wants to go, then it can work.
Sure. So we have talked a little bit about the flu campaign. So are there any other suggestions you have for a successful campaign?
Right. The biggest issue, which is not going to affect a huge amount of surgeries, but you have to be so careful. So with flus, as Richard said earlier, you can go back 6 years. So if you haven't claimed them straight away, it's not a problem. You can claim them later. This is from your personally administered item side of things. However, if you claim the incorrect flu, it's really difficult to put that right. Okay. I talked about Seqirus, but you can also get flus from Sanofi. And Sanofi have always offered like an under 65 one and then a recombinant, a Supemtec it was called. Supemtec people have purchased in the past. It's actually been available to anybody over the age of 18 upwards. So, you know, you could give the same one to anybody. Supemtec got withdrawn a couple of months ago, July, August time. And they said, what we're going to do is we're going to have a quadrivalent split variant inactivated flu vaccine, which is your under 65. And we're going to have a quadrivalent split variant influenza vaccine, which is your over 65. Difference being HD, and it's 0.7 mil as against 0.5 mil. So the difference on your appendix, where you've got tiny little lines to write this in, is you have to put high dose and you have to put 0.7 mil, because instead of being paid £24 for something that's cost you £21.30 plus VAT, you could get paid £8.
Ah.
Yeah. And if that happens, it's really difficult. You know, it's blood, sweat and tears to get it put right, and you might not get it put right.
Easier. We see it a lot. I know I see it a lot when I go to practices. I can see from the numbers they just haven't claimed the correct vaccine.
Yeah. And it's huge. It's huge. It's millions. Yeah.
It's one of the most common things that we're helping our practices rectify. Each year, typically over 2,000 practices claim the incorrect flu. It's a simple administrative error. It's really complicated to correct.
And actually, the feedback I get, because when I go to practices, I generally see partners, sometimes a practice manager will be there. Often the individuals responsible for doing the PPA claims for the surgeries, they're not at the meeting. And so it sort of has to be filtered down through, you know, a number of different sources. But what the feedback generally is it changes so frequently every year. To train somebody to learn it, it's just so complicated.
Yes.
So a simple tip that they can all feed back to the administrator who does this is when they come to do the flu claim for the first time that year, go and speak to one of the nurses, ask them to show them the box the flu came in and write what's on the box. Read it very carefully and write exactly what's on the box.
I would go further. I would take some of those packets and put over 65 on the one. So tell me which one's over 65. Tell me which one's under 65. And literally have them sort of stuck on my computer so I don't get it wrong.
I mean, yeah, we're giggling, but it makes total sense, doesn't it? I mean, I know you said it before, there's so many different options to claim that actually how simple would it be to put a wrong percentage of a millimetre down? So easy.
What comes across from this podcast is how complicated it is. But one of the things we stress is making things simple for the staff who actually have to do it. Mm. So another tip, again, just really simple but very effective, is all of these items which are claimable, which everybody gets confused about, well, once you've worked out what you're purchasing that's claimable at your practice, get some big, bright stickers and stick them on the shelves of those drugs or even on the boxes, and then just let everybody know if it's got that bright sticker, it needs to be claimed. Don't forget to claim it.
That's a really useful tip, because I just think it's getting harder and harder, and which is why the profit margins are getting smaller and smaller.
Exactly. When we talked at the beginning about what levels you're seeing, so you were saying 10 to 15%, well, that missing 10%, some of it will be down to the fact that they haven't claimed every time. They know they're claimable, but every now and again, a nurse will be distracted or forget, and it just doesn't happen every time. It's very easy to happen.
Mm. And I think we don't have that many dispensing practices just purely because of our demographic of where our patients are. But the ones we do have, their dispensing profits have taken such a hit in the last 3 years. You know, really, really, really depleting. So I'm pretty sure all of mine I've already referred to you guys, because I know that there's something not right. It can't just be the case that it's eradicated.
With the dispensing practice, they've been particularly hit by the reduction of number of supplier discounts, because, of course, their drugs bills are so great. So, yeah, they've got to work even harder to get all of the available discounts, but then to be absolutely confident they're claiming everything correctly.
Mm. And are there any sort of easy ways for practices to know if they're doing something majorly right or majorly wrong?
Well, that's really perhaps the problem for practices. In the past, they've been able to trust that everything has been paid correctly. So very few practices have ever really checked on their payments. But over the years we've been doing this, we just see more and more errors occurring. Mm-hmm. And so really the practices have to proactively check every aspect of the process or what's being claimed. But then when they've posted that claim off in the post, they can't relax. They need to 2 months later check. Introduce what we call revenue assurance checks to make sure that they are actually paid correctly.
And is that what you would recommend, monthly?
Absolutely. Because if an error starts to occur, if they wait until the end of year accounts, well, by then it could have been occurring every month. The errors have a horrible habit of when they occur, they just repeat themselves until somebody spots it.
Mm.
So, yeah, introducing a monthly check, we would absolutely recommend.
I agree as well. I mean, I have a couple of clients who I know only do it every 6 months or even every year. And I just feel so much admin in one go. Like, surely it's better to just do it throughout the year. And then you're right, any errors can be spotted instantly.
So one of the checks that's really important practices do every month for dispensing practices are that offer wrong movements. So many are unaware that of what they are or whether they're occurring, but they can crop up at any time. And they occur when the backs of a prescription are not correctly completed by the patient. When that prescription processed, it can result in a prescription that is exempt from prescription charges being switched to being chargeable. And at that point, the practice has £9.90 deducted. The practice is not told that has happened, and it's a simple administrative error, but they've now lost almost £10 every time it occurs. So it's really important because it will just keep occurring and you can't recover the money. Once it's happened, it's too late. So if they only check once a year, they could have lost 12 months worth, and that can be tens of thousands of pounds.
And that's from the patient incorrectly filling the prescription format incorrectly.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So a simple administrative check. And yeah, that can result in a big, and it doesn't occur frequently, but when it does occur, it has a big impact.
Yeah, especially if it's £10 a pop.
Yeah, well, yeah. £9.90, yes, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the first thing. The second thing, so that was dispensing practices. The second thing is if a surgery doesn't do a huge amount of drugs or anything like that, and so only does their submissions once or twice a year, I referred to the calculation that was carried out, and I said it's they add up for a particular month the amount that is being submitted in that month. So if you've done 6 months, then it's 6 months worth of stuff that's being added up. Depending on that total for that month, then they take off a discount. As I say, I called it clawback for dispensing practices, but the NHS call it discount. They're giving themselves a discount. That discount can range from 3.17% up to 11.18%, but it's sort of a tailing curve. So it goes up quite steeply and then tails off. So I said during flu seasons, you could be at sort of 8, 9, 10% deducted. So that's 8, 9, 10%. So that's £100 per £1,000 that you are submitting. Whereas if you'd submitted monthly, some of those months, you're supposed to submit. We're in October at this moment in time. So in November, if you're submitting the whole of October, that's how you're supposed to do it. So you submit the whole of October. Whole of October contains all of your flus. That is just, you've got to take the hit. There's nothing you can do about it. You're doing it correctly. But is if you've got June and July's, which were less than £2,000, then for June, July, August, September, and they were all £2,000 each, then they would have been at 3.17% instead of that, I just said, let's go 10%. It makes it easier. So that's £70 per thousand difference. So on my 4 months, I think I just used £8,000, I said, over that particular period. That's multiplied by your £70.
Yeah, no, it's a lot more. And I had no idea about that. So I know whenever I speak to those practices that do it 6 monthly or annually, I say, I really think you should do it more than that. But now, at least I can say, I have evidence now that you really should be doing it more because you're actually losing out. I mean, I'm sure I'll get kickback that they'll say, well, it's our time and it takes a long time. But actually, if you get into the swing of it monthly, surely that's going to streamline the process.
Absolutely, absolutely. You tend to sort of see more that needs claiming. And, you know, it's not just about making the profits on the drugs that you're doing currently. It's if you get your processes correct, then it's about saying, well, okay, then can we introduce other things into this so that we make more profit? It's not costing the NHS anymore or anything else. It's just saying, look, can we do this? But it's all about your processes start to finish. Are we buying at the right price? Are we making sure prescriptions are issued? Are they being submitted and are we submitting them in a timely manner? You know, so it isn't just, oh, if we buy this, we'll make a profit.
And so talking about the process, just one thing that I've had feedback from some clients, and we just had a quick chat about it before we started the record, but I'm getting some clients say that there's a timeline on the flu claim, but I think they're referring to the DES. So I think just make sure, although we've talked about the PPA claim, making sure that you put that in and you've got time to go back, although I know it's very difficult to reclaim it if you've put the wrong vaccine itself in. But with the DES payment, just make sure that practices are claiming that in a timely manner as well, because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Tracy, if they elapse the 3 months, it can be very difficult to get the actual achievement for the period that they've done.
Absolutely. The Statement of Financial Entitlements says there's a time frame, and it says you have 6 years to claim anything unless there is a time put on that particular thing. So if your DES has a 3 month time, just like childhood IMs and things, they have different time limits on them. That is what takes precedence.
Fine. That's really useful to know, because I know that's just the one thing every year we always get certain things that get fed back, and that is one that keeps cropping up. So we've covered pretty much everything that we wanted to discuss, but I just wondered if there was anything worth mentioning for the upcoming year, what practices should be looking out for.
Okay, so we've talked about flus. Obviously, you need to get your orders in based on how well you've done this year, and you want to get them in sooner rather than later. Have a look at what you did last year as well. Always flu campaigns make all the difference. But also, and this is a bit techie accountants thing, is with your drugs, often you'll get those from a few main suppliers. But is if you're doing private vaccines as well, and not necessarily, or buying other things from those drug suppliers, then make sure when you're doing your returns and when you're putting them in onto your accounts that you only include those items that are classed as personally administered on that line, because that can actually make things look worse than they actually are. So just be really careful about how you sort of section those out. I've seen a surgery recently who do private vaccines, and they put them all against their prescribing drugs. Their prescribing drugs are making a loss, but their other ones are looking amazing. So they were really focused on how can we improve our prescribing drugs, and they're doing really well. But actually, it's just down to the account side of things. I'm sure, Katie, you can do that better than I can, being the accountant in the room, but it does make a big difference.
And my, if you like, final tip for practice going into the next period, we talked about that target level of drugs profit. To achieve that requires them really just to do three things. Everything we've talked about in this podcast comes under the following three things. Make sure you claim for everything. Look at your processes, claim in the first place. Check your payments. Introduce revenue assurance checks to ensure that you actually get the money you're due based on those claims. And then the only other thing to do is manage your suppliers. Look at the cost of every drug. Think about whether you can get it at a lower cost. If you do those three, that's how you'll achieve that target level of drugs profit.
Yeah, and that's so I'm going to definitely start looking out for. I know 25% is sort of the top end, effectively, but I'm still going to look out for it. I'm still going to look out for it. Yeah. So thank you so much. So useful. I'm going to do an unashamed plug, because I just think you guys are great and you've helped so many of our clients. So for those of you who are listening, your details will be in the show notes, but your website is www.ashlane.co.uk. So clients listening who are struggling and know that they could do with some support, especially going back and doing a large back claim, please, I mean, I hope I'm okay to say this, but please don't hesitate to get in touch, because I know how many GP practices up and down the country you guys are helping at the moment.
Yeah, we're very delighted to hear from any practice, even if it's just to ask a question. We can check on their flus. We can, you know, answer any quick questions they've got. No problem. Always happy to help.
That's really, really useful. So thank you so much for your time today. And if you have enjoyed this, please don't forget to like and subscribe. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to RBP's Accountancy on Prescription podcast. For any updates, please visit www.rbp.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at RBPCA. The contents of this podcast is for general guidance and informational purposes only and does not constitute any form of advice. The information provided by RBP is of a general nature. Appropriate and tailored advice or independent research should be obtained before making any decisions. RBP does not accept any liability for any loss or damage which is incurred from you acting or not acting as a result of listening to Accountancy on Prescription.